is troubles and trials, stumbling blocks, and stepping stones. And the Lord gave this to me years and years and years ago. In fact, I think we have a picture. Ta-da! This is a picture. This is a picture when I was working at Denton State School, and I had a classroom, and I was a vocational instructor for the kids, and this guy, there was a couple other people with him, came down from New York. And he worked for IBM, and our room was given a project to do, and I had about 20 kids, was it more than that? About 20 kids, I call them kids,
clients.
And the clients, yeah, and we were given a project by IBM for the kids, the clients, is this making my nose look? Does this make me look fat?
No,
at
all.
Anyway, and the kids were having a problem with it at first, and so I just prayed and asked the Lord to give me an invention to help the kids to be able to do this. This is handicapped kids. This is MHMR kids. And so they did. They literally changed part of the project that they had sent us, according to what the Lord gave me. And but then as we went, we found that there was another situation that was, you know, hard for them. And so I prayed again, asked the Lord for another invention, and the Lord gave me another one. And then the kids took off. They took off, and so they were just pumping this stuff out. And well, at the same time, I mean, basically, it's them doing the project and then them setting it in a box next to them. And so I was sitting there, and I'm helping anybody if they need it. But the inventions were so good, the kids were just going. So I wrote about three books that some of you would be familiar with while I was in that classroom, and this was one of them. And so this is, these people from IBM came down, and they said that they give out 10 awards a year for, you know, excellence. And so they came down, and they brought us this award, and they're taking pictures, and they're got a big cake for the kids, and so when he handed me this thing, the photographer was over to the left a little bit, and he was moving in place to take a picture, and I said, I didn't earn this, these kids did, and they just broke out, yay, that's right, Wendy, anyway, it was so special for them. It was just so, so special. And so you, as you can see, when you look at that picture and you look now, that was a long time ago that I wrote this. And interestingly enough, this kind of goes along with what I've been sharing on Sunday ever since, anybody know the exact month I started with?
January.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay, started on that because of, you know, just one main area, and that is how do we deal with troubles and trials, you know? And I just know that that's really important in relationship to our lives, in relationship to how we live, in relationship to, you know, if we can be with the Lord through hard times as well as good times. Because anybody can be with you, be with you during good times. But you know, if you're able to be with the Lord during those difficult times, and I mean really be with the Lord. So anyway, this is that, and I'll read the table of contents here. Some of you, who has this book? Anybody have it here? Of course you do. Yeah. Anyway, well, you know, in truth, Jim should be teaching this course because he's taught this, what, 10 times? It's been a lot. And the joy of his heart is every time he teaches it, something terrible happens. Because there was just all these, there was. I mean, this is no joke. There was crisis after crisis every time he'd teach it. And so I think it was a couple of years back, we said, Jim, will you teach this? And he goes, no, I'm not going to teach that. But he was ready to do it this year. And, you know, because he's strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Anyway, so I appreciate all those years that you put that in there. So this is, I'm going to read this acknowledgement. It's not here. I didn't acknowledge anybody. Here it is. No, I've got it. Well, you want to come up here and read it, the acknowledgement? That's great. And you don't have to sit, you can stand, whatever's comfortable.
Well, it's a miracle that I have this book because it, through all the moves, I just got it back like a couple months ago. And then when you announced this class and I was reading in it, it was November 19th, 1996. And that's right when I came. That's right. I was pregnant with Ezzy. I mean, I was straight out of the kingdom of darkness, the world. I mean, my life was a wreck that y'all even let me in here. And the things, the little did I know, these seeds were planted. What this would change my life, this class, these realities is what would carry me. I'm sure everyone feels that way. But this class in specific, I've just been broken over that. And that the Lord has a plan for our lives and we can't even mess it up because he's bigger. So the acknowledgments. Well, yeah, I definitely tried. I tried hard. Acknowledgments by Randy Nussbaum. This book has been many years in coming. Much work by many people have helped make it possible. To all those who have had a hand in seeing this information get out, I am truly grateful. Most recently, the staff of Life in the Spirit have worked particularly hard. Grateful appreciation to Hank and Helen Harmon, who have spent hours and hours typing and editing this manuscript. It is primarily their hard work that has made this book available to the general public. Also, much thanks goes to Marion Burgoon and her involvement in printing. Said that right? And making copies of this book. And everything I do, there is the unmistakable imprint of my dear wife, Debbie. Eternal gratitude for her unfailing support of me and backing to carry out what God has called me to do. A special thanks to the Holy Spirit who shared this information with me. May this book help mature the body of Christ and bring King Jesus much glory.
Yeah, the book was written along with, like I said, several other books. And we were, I started writing books when I was at Shiloh.
In Jamaica.
Oh, yeah. Never mind. But I wrote quite a few books when I was at Shiloh. And and so I kind of, you know, a lot of it, well, they were all handwritten. And so I asked some people if they would help. And this was back when people only had typewriters. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how old I am.
OG.
Oh, my God. Anyway, and so this is not a lie. Everybody that took one of those handwritten things to type it up, their typewriter broke down. And it was like, are you kidding me? Yeah. And then, you know, and then I started warning people, a few people, as it started happening. And so then one of them came and said they were having trouble with their typewriter and they don't want it broke down, so they handed me back the manuscript. But here's what was working in me. These books are really important, and they were given of God. These books are really important, and I got to get these things out. And the Lord gave them, and da-da-da-da. And that's what, you know, I mean, I was, you know, zealous. And zealous for my own stuff. And everywhere I turned, it was like a no. So I took those books and many more, I put them on a shelf, and I said, Lord, I'm not even going to look at them or think about it anymore. I'm with you. I want what you want. And if this is your mind and your heart, you know, then that's fine. And then some years later, sitting at my office at home, and the Lord said, okay, now. And so I reached up there and I went, it was like I reached up there, pulled him out and went, you know. And then I became open again when I knew that it was going to be the Lord. And there was probably something in me that was going, you know, that was pushing, that was putting expectations on people, that was, you know, well, you know, all kind of stuff. I know none of y'all have ever had anything like that before, and I'm so proud of y'all. But it is a thing. It is a thing. And it is a thing that the Lord wants us to learn to be with Him, to be with His timing, and to have the right spirit when it comes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Amen?
Yes,
to be with Him, and that is, you know, if you don't want this or whatever your thing is or whatever, you don't want this to get out, that's your business. I'm with you. And if I would feel any tugs, you know, those tugs, you know, well, you know, maybe pray again or something. But when I got to the point where I just put them on that shelf, to me, it was as good as dead. It really was. So all of those, to me, were spiritual seeds put into this book.
Yes.
You know? And of course, we've done a lot more since then. I haven't written a book now in a long, 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 long time. But there was a period of time, man, we were putting out the books, right, Mallory? Mallory was really getting in there and a lot of other people. And thank you, you know. And you're still working on stuff, you know. So anyway, so we'll read on a little more here of the... Well, I tell you what, let's see. I thought I had something here with some... are y'all open to me giving you a scripture and you look it up?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. How many people we got here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I only have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So, Jim, since you've taught this so many years, I'm gonna skip you. Jeannie, do you want to do that? Do you have a Bible on you or whatever? Don't worry about it.
I'm sorry to know I wasn't showing up today. Sure. Thank you.
Okay. And I'll just give you the thing and you can look it up and then I'll call on each one of you to read it. Okay. Yours would be James chapter 1, verse 2 through 5. And Mallory, I'll skip and come back to you since you're helping her. Okay. So, okay. Sarah, yours will be 1 Peter 1, verse 6 through 7. Jennifer, yours will be 1 Peter 4, 12 through 18, it looks like. I hand wrote these a long time ago, and they've been in here for a while. Let's see. Are you up for it? Okay, good man. Matthew 5, 11 through 12. You only get two verses. You feel cheated?
I feel like it's cheating a little bit. You want to give? I can't cheat. I'm cheating with this. I'm not about that.
That's okay. You can cheat with that. You can cheat with that. Isaac, Romans 5, verse 3. So you're getting by pretty easy. Deb, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 through 10. And Kelly, Philippians 3, 10. So this has always been in my book. But since you always taught, you don't have all the little things I put in mind, which says, Randy, you're stupid. Anyway.
Randy, it looks like there's microphones here where people can stay in their seats, maybe.
Oh, will that work for them to stay in their seats?
It saves some time.
Okay.
You got to go see them all.
All right. Well, let's start. Jeannie, I appreciate you doing this. Okay. Would you go ahead and read then? James 1, verse 2 through 5.
My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him.
Amen. I mean, think of that. When you fall into, the King James says diverse trials, but we're talking about different trials. There's a lot of different trials. There's a lot of different situations. There's a lot of different things that come into our life. But he goes on as if, you know, it doesn't matter which one you fall into, or if each of us here fell into one just before we came. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And the end result is, count it all joy, you know. So there has to be a deeper explanation than God just wants us to be happy all the time, you know. There has to be something more. And in this, which we'll get into in this book, I give a lot of different examples of different kinds of trials, which is perfect for what you just read. Jeannie, it's diverse trials, and I'm not talking about people that go down underwater and stuff. This is everybody. Okay, Mallory, you got. Sorry, I was going to come back, and I ran out of.
No worries.
Okay.
1 Peter 1:6-7, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ere in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Okay, so it's talking about that the trials are testing you, and that's one of the categories we'll get into. But the end result of that, of course, is, again, there's joy, there's, you know, but he says, though you may be in heaviness, and the word heaviness is depression, discouragement, those kind of things. And so in there, you may be going through that trial, but God's doing something. Let's just say if the enemy gave you that, God's doing something also within that same realm. And he is testing our faith, okay? And he's not testing our faith whether you love God or not. That's not it. That's not what he's doing. He's not testing our faith if you love God or not. That's what, you know, people go, well, God just wanted to know if you love him, you know. No, he's testing our faith to see if we will can stand, have been built up enough in the Lord, have been gone through enough trials that, I mean, since I've been around for a long time and been through a lot of trials, you learn after a while. You learn, you know, this is just a trial, and it's going to be gone soon. It's not going to be here forever. And some trials may last forever, but most of the biblical trials don't, in the sense of they don't need to last forever, because it's not about just having a trial. The Lord's always trying to draw out our heart more and more to him, to love him, to trust him, to be with him, you know. And you can be in depression and still stand with him and say, look, I'm with you no matter what. I've done it more times than I can count. I'm with you. I don't care about this. I'm not going to throw this in your face and say, well, why aren't you doing this for me? You know, and so the Lord, and there's a timing. The Lord always has that timing. It's a subject area that I'm working on right now. It's part of that whole thing. Did you have a comment on any of that? Okay. Jennifer?
1 Peter 4:12-18 is, I think, what you told me. That's a lot.
Yeah, let me double check here. That's what it looks like to me, but it may not be that.
Okay. Well, stop me if you need to. Beloved,
stop. Not. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Should have known. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he's evil spoken of, but on your part, he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer.
Okay, let's stop right there. We don't want any murderers getting any ideas. Yeah, it was a long, long time ago, but I decided to do a word search on the word happy. And back then, we had to use a Strong's Concordance. Anybody, how many of you have ever used a Strong's Concordance? I mean, it is a big old heavy book. And you go, you know, and it just takes forever. Thank God for technology. Thank God. Amen. Anyway, I was trying to look up the word happy because I'm going, okay, I'm going to read in the New Testament and I'm going to find the thing that's going to make me happy. You know, if I remember correctly, but that was a long time ago, it was the only word of use of the word happy, straight up happy, I mean. And it says, well, how's it, what's it say exactly?
If you are reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you.
And I kind of went, you got anything else up there? You know. But, you know, for young Christians and everything, of course they don't understand this. Of course they don't. I didn't understand it. I struggled with, you know, troubles and trials and all of that kind of stuff. And as long as your core... even if you're saved, your core is still based on the world, the flesh, you know, this realm, then you're going to have a reaction. There's going to be a reaction. But just because you have a reaction doesn't mean you can't come back from it.
Hallelujah.
And, you know, I would get phone calls in the middle of the night or, you know, during the weekends with people really going through stuff. And then my own situations. And I think I've even mentioned this recently, but I got to a point where I had been through so many things, and the Lord had eventually got me through each one of them, whether they were mine or someone else's, that I just knew that this wasn't going to last forever. And I knew that God is faithful. He's faithful. And I didn't want to add to that, but I'm not. Amen. God is faithful, but I'm not. I wanted to add to it. I want to trust you, Lord, and I want to I use this terminology a lot. I want to be with the Lord. I don't know if everybody really understands that, but for me, it is a real situation of you know, I can either be with me, or I can be with the circumstances, or I can be with the, you know, against, but I'm with them, you know, my focus is them, the person who's doing this to me, or wherever it falls, I want to be with the Lord. I really, really want to be with the Lord. And I don't want to be wandering off like a sheep that wanders around. So anyway, did you have any points or thoughts on that?
Well, I've been thinking a lot about the burning bush and the pressed but not crushed, I've actually been speaking to my clients about it at work. Multiple of my clients, it's come up in conversation. I'm like, it's because our God is a burning bush.
And they're going, what?
So it's just the same spirit again in these verses of, you know, rejoicing in the midst of sufferings and everything else. It's just so beautiful.
Amen. Amen. All right, you can cheat now.
Matthew 5, you say 11.
I said Matthew, what is it now? Matthew 5, 11 and 12.
Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they, the prophets, which were before you.
And as I alluded to, when I would read these things, I would just go, this just doesn't seem right. You know what I mean? It just, because everything in human nature says, you know, bless me, give to me, you know. But Jesus says, but we usually can't equate that to our present trials. Jesus says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. But that's just a small version or a small picture of what he just read and what each one of you up to this point have read. It's just a small picture that God, our God, is a giver. He laid down, Jesus laid down his life for us. Jesus gave up his life. He gave up, quote unquote, his future, if you will, the way that we would look at it. And he did that for us. And if he's living enough inside of us, he'll do it again. If he's living inside of us, he'll do it again. Because Jesus will be Jesus. Lamb will be lamb. Remember that. Mark it down. Lamb will be lamb. Lamb will not be goat. And I'm not talking about the greatest of all time. I'm talking about a goat. All right. Yeah, your turn.
Romans 5:10.
Okay.
For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled shall we be saved by his life.
Okay, do me a favor and read Romans 5:3. Yes. But that, but you actually got a good one there. Yeah.
And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience.
Okay, so, you know, in the early going, we are a mess, but we're good. We're God's mess. He will refine us. He will bring us into His image. He will fill us with His life eventually. But we're like children. We're like, you know, so it takes time. I mean, we're in a family. We're in the family of God, and it takes time to learn the family spirit. And so, you know, we look at these circumstances and, you know, and we say, I mean, I've done it, and probably all of you have done it. You get in it and, you know, you're going, oh, I want it to be the Lord and everything. Lord, give me patience. Give me patience. And so it gives you tribulation, because tribulation worketh patience. You don't know what you're asking for. He goes, you sure you want this? You know, and it's like, you know, okay. And I learned that the long way and the hard way. But He was faithful. And when he did give me tribulation, He did it not with the intention of destroying me or hurting me or wounding me or having me go under, you know. He did it with the strict intention and in a way that it could work patience in me. So that's, you know, guess what? That's going to move you forward. You know, I'm not talking about competition. I'm talking about in the Lord, move you forward in more and more in the Lord. Deb?
May I comment on one thing you just said?
You may comment.
To me, the patience is so that we can be with Him. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because we're fighting the elements, you know, a lot of different ways. The patience is so we can't be with Him.
Mm-hmm.
All right, my reading is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
So here in this verse, you get a real good picture of the process, and that is that it's not just, you know, Him giving us tribulation so that He can work patience into it. It's a step up from that. It is that Paul there is recognizing, he didn't at first, as she read, and even if you read a little further before that, you find that he was going through it too, and he didn't understand it. And this is the Apostle Paul. But then he got it. And he got it simply by the Lord saying to him, my grace is sufficient for you. But there's an explanation of that. And that explanation that Paul gave was, you know, when I go through weaknesses and when I go through these kind of things and whatever, when I am weak, then am I strong. When I am weak, then I'm living by the power of Christ. Okay, so what Christian doesn't want it to be him more than themselves? You know, they want more of Jesus, less of them. And this process, And this is, you know, obviously just a few of the scriptures. This process brings us into realms of the Lord that you can't describe. You can't. The scriptures can't even describe it. I mean, that's actually a wonderful thing, but it sounds horrible. You know what I mean? But it's actually one of the most wonderful things, because then the power of Christ rests upon me. Oh my God. You know, and then you know it's not I, but Christ. You know it. And you rejoice. That's where all this rejoicing starts popping out. You go, it's Jesus, it's not me. I usually would be, you know, I was working on a song about a month ago or something. And, well, I probably shouldn't mention some of the words. But anyway, was just going along this line of the weakness and how it can bring you into realms that you just don't know. You can't explain. You can say it, you can preach it, you can, you know, share it, you can sing it, you can all of that, but until you've actually gone there, then you know then you're still, even though you've heard it and you might even embrace the doctrine of it, it's still not Jesus. So it still doesn't ring like Jesus rings, you know? Anyway, Kelly, what do you got?
Philippians 3:10. Kelly, you're a little far from the microphone. Do you want to slip like behind Jennifer?
Yes, I would love to. Not directly.
You could have come up here.
Okay. That I may know him. In the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Philippians 3:10.
I should have given that one to you.
I know, I got your scripture.
No, you got his calling.
His calling is even better.
Amen. Okay, so we are under no duress to go long or stop short. We are only here to let the Holy Spirit move, help us to understand. You know, there's a comfort that he gives in the trials. Well, you know, we talked about it in the Sunday morning thing, you know. I mean, the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they're thrown in the fiery furnace that has been made seven times hotter than it ever was before. And folks, the king telling them that is enough to scare you even deeper. It's like, oh my God, seven times hotter than ever? They get in there, and the next words are, they're walking around with Jesus, one like the Son of God. They're walking around, and they've got their clothes and stuff. The clothes didn't burn off, and they didn't even get smoke on the clothes. What burned off? The ropes that were holding them there. No more bondage. Hallelujah is right. That's the Lord, and that's, you know, those realms. Something in each of our hearts has to hear more than the words or the scriptures or the concepts. And, you know, I went to a Bible school that it was a great Bible school, in my opinion, in that they really, you know, taught Christ and Him crucified. But one of the biggest problems was that everybody became like a scholar, a Bible scholar. And a preacher on those levels, and so it all began to be canned, and you know this is how it works, and da 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 da, and you know, the Lord had to deal with me fairly early after, you know, after the Lord started this church, to say, you're no longer part of that. I want to talk to you. I want to share with you. I want to, you know, I wish I could find that scripture right now, but I doubt that I could. Maybe I could. Today, the Holy Spirit was sharing with me in one vein, and then he stops and he starts talking about something else. And it's like, I don't fully have what you're talking about here. Okay, let's see if I can do this. Where are you? Hopefully here. Now I just have to go down a list. I'll start. There's two things here, so I don't want to jump too fast here. This might have been. Everything I read now of my notes, I'll go back to this one subject that I'm going to be teaching on at a certain juncture. Okay, this is... This is in John, and he says, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And the only one who declared to us the Father in a seeing and bosom way was the Son. He says, you got it right. No man has seen him except the Son that is in the bosom of the Father. The only one that's seen him, the Father, in a seeing and bosom way is the Son and him to whom he will reveal him. So... So in John 5 it says, but I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. And and I was looking at that and thinking how the Father is bearing witness. This is chapter 5, so it's going to be talking about, you know, Jesus is the, you know, search the scriptures because they testify of me. And then, y'all don't mind me reading this, do you? Concerning knowing the Father. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. And you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him you believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Verses that we know so over and over and over and over and over, and they were major Berean notes from my Bible school and the church that I was going to. Major, major, major ones. And then just some simplicity here. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. And I wrote down, the Father has a shape. You've neither heard his voice. He also has a voice about which Jesus says, you have neither heard his voice at any time. Is Jesus talking about a certain tone or accent? No. First, he's talking about the voice of words, because he says, you know, you believe not. You have not my word abiding in you. But really, he is talking about what the Father declares. He declares the Son, and you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he sent you believe not. And I wrote, notice how Jesus equates having his word abiding in you points directly to embracing and believing in Jesus, but not Jesus, the religious character, but the one the Father has sent. That's what we're supposed to be knowing. There is no purpose for a Bible school, in my opinion, and I'm the one who's raised it up, there's no purpose for a Bible school if we're just going to fall into the same teaching and everything that everyone else teaches, and we don't go to the Spirit of God and to the Father and to the Son, and we have this relationship. I don't remember if it's in here or not. Well, I know it says, and he bears witness of me. That's what Jesus said. He bears witness of me. And I looked it up, and Paul had a place where he was talking about it. And he's talking, Paul is talking like, well, you know, you may not believe me or whatever, but the Father, you know, is one of my witnesses. You talk to him like that? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's stepping over a line from religion to going, I really want to know you. And I, you know, and it's fine to hear Randy's teaching or anybody else's teaching or whatever. It's fine. It's fine. I'm not condemning all of that. But it is to be condemned, even my teaching for sure, if it's only going to be us hearing and bearing witness that that's true, but not us hearing it. And us being with the Father, and us being with the Son, and us being with the Holy Spirit. And so there was just amazing, and I'm not reading it all here, but just amazing relationship that that Paul began to talk about. And as I looked at it, I went, this guy is not like us. He is not like us. He is really in with them. And so was David. Amen? Really in. And I don't want to be David, and I don't want to be like David. I mean, when I was in Bible school, we were all standing in a big group after lunch and talking, and da-da-da-da, and somebody said, man, I want to be like Paul, you know, I want to da-da-da-da. And someone else says, well, you know, I want to be like Peter or this or that or whatever, you know. Somebody said, I want to be like David. And I was just listening. And they said, well, what about you, Randy? I said, I'm here to be like Jesus. You know, that's what I'm here for. I came to this Bible school to be like Jesus. I don't want to be David. I don't want to be Paul. I don't want to be anybody else. I want Jesus formed in me. And I want to know, I want to relate to him in a way that's so real, you know? So anyway, sorry, it's time to quit, but sometimes I feel like I'm getting off on my own desires, but y'all believe this should be our desires, right?
Yes.
This is it. And so that's what we're trying to do here. That's what we're trying to do. Somebody have a prayer that you'd like to come up here and pray? Come on, Mallory.
Lord, thank you for your word. And we do want your word abiding in us, Lord, in these areas of troubles and trials, and knowing the Son in us and having you in us by your word, Lord, and be able to take ground and open us up more and more that we can walk in any fiery furnace and people will see the Son of God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, let it be. Take the ground that we cannot take and be preeminent and the only one living in us. In Jesus' name.